Raised Rowdy.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast, and my name is Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nick Tressler.
And we have Awesome Mahome here. Welcome, buddy.
Hello.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me on the show.
Busy boy over here, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are doing a media day today, so bump it all around.
Yep. Getting ready for this weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Lots of cool people out here.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. It's a fun week here in town. We talked a little bit offline. It's like CRS week, too. Uh-huh. Just lots of craziness and... I mean, we're recording on St. Patrick's Day, so
yeah, I got my green on.
Yeah,
my green wash.
Dang, I don't. Wash. You know what? I got my green pants on too. I'm good.
That's it.
Yeah, I was at lunch with one of my buddies, and he was like, "You don't have any green on. I gotta pinch you." And then I looked down and had it on my wrist. I'm like, "I'm good, dude."
Yeah.
But thanks for being here, man. It's been cool, like getting to dig even deeper into your music. I've known about you for a long time, like really? More so from like your early days when you were doing stuff in the pop world. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, to see how you're like crossing over into the country space and researching a little bit, like watching your journey here to Nashville has been super cool.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm excited to be here. I love country music. I grew up on 90s, 2000s country music, and I was actually supposed to maybe live here instead of Miami like 12 years ago, but Miami just sounded a little bit better. So at that time, but
very fun.
I'm happy to be here now, and I feel right at home, you know?
Yeah. It's an interesting time too for country music. I mean, as like the genre has gotten bigger and bigger and the sound has gotten wider and wider, you know, it's always been, you know, pop music has been have elements in country. I mean, think about like guys like Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
Even since the beginning, there's always been like poppier stuff.
Absolutely.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I know some people that say Garth Brooks like isn't country, you know?
Yeah, which is crazy.
Old
now.
Heads are like, ain't no country after George Jones.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, grandpa, time to go to bed.
No, but I mean, honestly, one of the coolest things about like being in Nashville, and I'm sure you can kind of attest to this too, is just it is Music City.
Yeah.
So there's so much of everything here. You know, there's music of every genre you can think of.
Yeah.
I mean, like Kurt, you know, playing in a band, you got guys that come from rock backgrounds, jazz backgrounds, everything. You know,
no, Nashville, I think, is the biggest music city in the whole world.
Yeah.
I mean, try to change my mind. I don't think there is another one.
No.
Yeah. Agreed.
I can't even try to name another one.
No, it's like where you go for music to happen. And it's funny, like now living here, and you, of course, get to see it too, being here all the time. It's every place that you're at all the time, there is music, you know? So the energy of that, you know, just like being around it all the time, I'm sure helps with creative inspiration as
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you're always around people that are great at creating and songwriting and you're just doing that all the time, you're going to get more better songs to choose from. But in Miami, it's hard. I feel like everyone's spread out. Not everybody's a writer or producer and, you know, here it's just like anyone could
I'm from South Florida actually, so I spent a lot of time down there as well. And I think the thing that Nashville has is like there's just more of a cohesive culture here that's like based around making and playing and producing and writing and recording music. And it was kind of like in Miami it was like everything's spread out, there's pockets of stuff. There's a scene there, but it's also like, well, is it Latin music or is it jazz or whatever? Here it's like everyone's like the whole city feels like it's built around songs. So, like, people that aren't even in the genre will come in to write because you got some of the best songwriters in the world and you have the best studio musicians in the world and the best podcast hosts in the world. You know?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe some. Bobby Bones, you know.
Yeah. He's pretty good, I guess.
But what are some of the things that you think, like, since you've been here, I've been here a few years now, that you think have been different or, like, set Nashville apart as opposed to either, you know, your roots in Texas or your time living in California or, of course, Miami?
To me, it's just like all of those places in one.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like San Antonio, Texas, with the love of what I grew up on, George Strait, Toby Keith, Tim McGraw, you know, those are my greats. But it also feels like Miami with being right there on Broadway. It's just like lots of people. It feels like South Beach, like the craziness, like just the edginess of it down there. It's definitely not, I can't really say it's like LA though.
Mm-mm. And that we kind of like that sometimes.
Yeah. just from, I guess, like songwriters and music people being there too, but it doesn't really compare.
Yeah. Cool.
I love Nashville.
Yeah. I love that.
I love the community. That's really what it's all about. Like besides the music and the songs, people just want to see you win and help you win here. So yeah, that's what I love about Nashville too.
I think that's such a great part of it too. And it's like, that's the thing that for me is like coming from just like being a fan of music, getting to watch other people enjoy each other's successes. Mm-hmm. And you know, like when someone writes a song, like I'm heading to a number one party after this for Ella Langley, but yes, the whole team of songwriters,
yeah,
you know, all of the people that help produce it, mm-hmm, you know, it's like a party like that is just such a fun thing because it's everybody sharing in the joy of a successful song, you know? And of course that, you have that with like management teams, mm-hmm, and, you know, labels or whatever, you know, team you have assembled, but yeah, it just feels so genuine here. Just wholesome almost.
Yeah.
You know, which is great.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. What of like the country world do you think has leaked most into like your music that you've recently been releasing and even stuff that you have in the pipeline?
I would just say more organic instruments. I think coming from the pop world, you can get lost in like 25 tracks of synths and random bells and whistles that you don't even need. But here it's like, it really helps you just get back to like just the basics of what music is, you know?
Yeah.
Keys, bass, guitar, drums, that's pretty much it, you know?
Yep.
So it makes it simpler, it makes it, I think, more timeless and more universal. You know, living in LA bi-coastal when I was living in Miami at the same time, I did that for 12 years, but being out there, being signed to Atlantic, APG, I was like really just writing songs for 3 years straight. Just I had like hundreds of songs after 3 years, and I think that's really helped me just become a better songwriter, come here to help be better. And, you know, there's so many incredible songwriters here that you got to kind of be on their type of fast type of level, you know?
Yeah.
Or else they're just going to write the whole song for you and be like, here's your song, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And realistically, if you're the artist putting it out, you want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. Story. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Are you still doing a lot of self-production? Like, I know that's stuff that you've done historically.
Yeah, historically for sure. I haven't really produced too many songs of my own in a good while.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed to have done it back then to just know how to do it now if I wanted to. And even now, like if I have a track that's already done and I hear like it's missing something, I'll throw some guitar on there or whatever I need to, some keys, whatever.
Yeah.
I just did that with a song that I have with Kodak that's gonna be on my new album.
Sick.
And I got a cowboy hat made for him and he wore it in the video and it was just kind of like a cool crossing of like genres.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's super cool.
And he loves the country music genre as well. So he I think he's also trying to like tap into that.
That's cool.
However he can. So
yeah, it's so cool just to see it, you know, kind of like go from being something that, you know, a lot of people have loved or when I was young, I'm a little bit older, but when I was young, it was like everyone would say, I like anything but country.
I used to say that.
Yeah. You had so many people that would say that. And now it's like the opposite. Like country is such a prevalent part of society and just such a cool time in the history of like the genre that you're seeing people that are, you know, embracing the culture. I feel like shows like Yellowstone and stuff like that have helped with that too.
For sure.
Like to make that even more mainstream. But also it's like once you get into it, it's not just the music. It's like you're talking about, it's the sense of community.
Yeah, it's the community. But like I said, it's also just the instruments too. Like I feel like we've just had so much noise and like random sounds going on for so long. It's like it's just organic and nice to listen to something that's like simple.
Yeah.
It's refreshing, you know?
Amen, brother.
I love that too. Yeah, you're speaking to Kurt's heart as the musician.
As the multi-instrumentalist guy. In the world, for sure.
No, it's a super cool time. And do you have any like specific producers or anyone that you've been working with here? Are you
my first country crossover album I did was with Jim Johnson. He also was living in Miami. Mm-hmm. He's Grammy Award winning for, you know, Beyonce, B.O.B., tons of people like Lil Wayne. And so for him to move to Nashville before me after we had already worked together in Miami, and he's kind of got his roots being planted here, and I'm coming from the pop R&B world, I'm trying to bridge those worlds together, country and that.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a better person to tap in with than Jim Johnson. So
it's great.
We made my first album together, A Lone Star Story.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out in 2023. And I did a tour after that with it. And I just want to keep putting out music as quickly and as best as I can, you know?
I
feel like the pop world is like, we're going to put a song out one every quarter of the year. And we're going to just, you know, take our time and, I don't know. I like to go as fast as I can, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take too much time no more.
I think that's a good thing with what the consumer base seems to be like vibing with now too. It's like if you give them something to keep the attention on, you know what I mean? It's like it's like constant food. Not only for like socials, but also for, you know, as you're saying, like music releases.
Yeah.
It's an interesting part of it, like as we've gone from like big long albums, right?
Yeah.
And then now it's like it's been single, single, single. Maybe you drop a project. Now it's like singles are the way that you can impact each, have as much impact for each song as you can. You know,
it's just kind of crazy to think like the attention spans have gotten shorter. So I feel like back in the day it was like we release singles more spread apart, and then we'll have a longer length album. And now it's like we want a small album and we want you to release like 40 songs.
Yeah.
Because everyone
it's
just
getting crazy.
Right? It's like, it's yeah.
That's an interesting part too. It's like, I definitely get overwhelmed with extremely long projects of, even sonically, right? Like, if you have a 12 song record and it all sounds very similar, it's like, well, yeah, it's the project, right? Yeah. But when you get a 40 song project, you know, whether that's two records separate together, it's either a lot sounds the same or it's there's so much going on that it almost feels like multiple projects inside of one project. Mm-hmm. So it's always interesting to me, like just as a consumer trying to consume that.
Yeah.
I feel like the Morgan record is like that, where it's like a third of it is like has like trap beats and a third of it's like country and a third of it's like rock or whatever, you know, like
for
like,
sure.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like three records in one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing just watching artists like him have mainstream pop crossover success, right? And for songs that definitely have significant country roots to them, you know? Maybe the first one that crossed over sounds very poppy, but then after that, it's like, it's mainstream country sounds. And then like what Ella Langley's doing right now, you know, with her songs being at the top of the Billboard charts too. It's
simple.
And it's
super.
That's the thing. It's like, that's kind of what's working. It's like instruments, simple, catchy melody. That's pop music. But that's also country music.
Yeah, but it's also rock music too.
Exactly, 100%. Yep. So it's cool just seeing the cohesiveness of that. And like, you know, fans historically of like country fans have liked country music and rock fans liked rock music back in the day, anything but country, you know. But you're doing a thing where it's like kind of using that like R&B element that you have in your voice with, you know, mainstream country elements of like, you know, classic instrumentation and things, and putting that pop flavor on it that honestly has lived in the genre for as long as I've been around.
Yeah.
So it's a cool like balance of that.
Yeah.
Have you had any like cool co-writing experiences since you've been in town? Are you still primarily working with a bunch of the same people?
I mean, all of my songwriting experiences since I've been here have been pretty well. And like I said, you know, my time in LA definitely helped sharpen my pen, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't think anywhere I'm like, oh shoot, I worked with this person and that person, but just I came here with a lot of songs that I had ready to go to put out or even finish that I needed to work on. And, I didn't come here being like, I need to just get into as many rooms as possible and write a bunch of songs. Like, I already had so many songs. I was like, let me just be a little bit selective with who I'm trying to, you know, work with and not do 6-7 sessions a week, you know?
Yeah.
But I love Nashville. I feel like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
It's a cool, cool city for sure. It's like, I moved down here in 2020.
Okay.
And I've, of course, like already lived a whole life before that. Mm-hmm. But just the energy that you get when you come here is.
Where were you before that?
I lived in Western Pennsylvania, so like Pittsburgh area.
Nice.
Had like a regular day job and stuff. So, yeah, different world.
So, what was it that like made you move from Pennsylvania to here and
music?
Do that?
Yeah, like I started Raised Rowdy. Back in 2017.
Okay.
And then had it from there, had like a radio show up in Pittsburgh.
How did that start? It was just a clothing brand?
No, it's just like a blog mostly.
Okay.
Like talking about the music that we thought was cool.
Okay.
You know? And then
also it was like you and your buddies going to concerts and made t-shirts.
That.
About it's kind of how the merch.
That's how the merch started. Yeah, we like went to a buddy's like bachelor party and we went to like a festival and camped out for 4 days. And the next year we like made stupid t-shirts that had like a shotgun beer can on them.
Yeah.
And then
they went like hotcakes, I bet.
Well, people were like, I want one of those shirts. And we're like, that doesn't exist. We made them just for us, you know? And then that kind of turned into like, I've always been the one like kind of showing people new music.
Mm.
Or like the way my brain works is like, I'll listen to something and I'll just like kill it. Like I'll listen to it like 100 times in a row. Many of my friends hate that I do that. But just like when I catch something, I like really catch it.
Yeah.
So I've always been someone like looking for new stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of led me to like being an ambassador for new music and new artists.
That's good.
And that's kind of like the back of what Rage Rowdy is. We also host like events here in town.
Nice.
So every Wednesday over at Old Dominion's Bar, Odie's, that's in Midtown.
Okay.
We do like a full band showcase there.
Fire.
And then we have writers rounds. So like what was just like fans now is like a place for artists, writers to meet their friends, their co-writers, like people they might end up working with, or maybe just someone they could bounce their problems and sorrows off of sometimes, you know,
or a good spot to grab a beer and just kind of listen to some new music.
Yeah. And that's the fan part of it, is like, it's like show and prove for people.
Yeah.
So like we got to see like a lot of acts before they were big and still are, you know, like you get to see talent.
That's cool.
Yeah, I get to see talent like as it's getting better, which is so cool. That's some of my favorite parts about it, is like watching someone that's like pretty good and then go from like, oh man, they got it now.
Yeah.
You know,
it's super a beautiful cool thing to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Kurt? Where are you from?
I'm from Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, nice. I have a show there March 26th, like next week pretty much.
We'll go check them out.
Yeah.
where at?
Tin Roof.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I ended up moving to, I went to college in Boston, and then afterwards, graduated college, I was like playing weddings and, you know, playing bars and stuff like that, working at restaurants, and I was like, what am I doing in my life here? And I had some friends that were doing well in Nashville, and I was really into bluegrass music, but I never really got into country music, and ended up moving down here and just started, been working ever since, you know?
That's good.
So, and Nick and I became friends sort of when I was playing Luke's band, I guess, or maybe even before that. And
we met before that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
and
when we became buds.
Yeah, yeah. And so Nick, we just kind of bonded over smoking cigars, and so he was like, I got this podcast. I'm like, dude, let me do it with you. He's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So
Kurt was my co-host on the radio show while we still had that. It was up in Pittsburgh.
That's cool.
So yeah, and
I like that.
It's a his background is so much different than mine that it's cool, because like he can nerd out with people on gear, and then I can kind of, you know, like talk about,
I like that,
what makes shows
like both
great
sides of the stage, like me being on stage and you being like,
yep,
you know, as an audience member kind of thing.
Yeah. What's your favorite instrument to play?
Great question. I would probably say electric guitar, but it depends. Sometimes it's dobro. I really love playing the dobro. I wish I had one here I could play for you guys, but there's something about that instrument that just whenever I play something really simple, everyone's always like, whoa, like I'm like some magician or something. And so I think that kind of like feels like gives me a little superpower. And I just love the way it sounds.
OK, I got to check that out. I don't even know what that instrument is. What is that?
It's like a guitar. It's sort of like an acoustic guitar, but it's played like in your lap.
OK.
So and then you play the slide. It's an acoustic lap steel kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you see the guitar that have the big metal section in the middle?
Yep.
That's what that is.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
That kind of thing.
That's resonator.
Cool. Yeah.
What about you? Did you play any instruments growing up, or mostly just singing? Or?
Yeah, I started with the drums when I was 6,
yeah,
and then kind of picked up the piano and guitar at 14, just kind of like learning on YouTube and playing around, picking around. So, but I think I prefer the guitar over all of them.
That's your favorite.
Just the most portable, and it just sounds so nice. Like I feel like you can just write anything on there. You know?
Is that what you do most of your writing on, or?
I would say the guitar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's that process for you like really look like? Are you often collabing when you're writing, or is it often you'll come in with ideas, or like partially done songs?
I would say 50-50. I'm always down to just pull up in the room and start from absolutely nothing. But I feel like a lot of the times I'll come in and just have like so many voice memos ready to show them, you know, to help bring them to life. So, I just got so many ideas, you know, it's tough to just go into a room and be like, let's just start something from nothing, you know?
Yeah. I've definitely done that before, where you're in the writing room and you're just like, so what do we
do? What's going on?
It's nice to have a little hook or something.
No, for sure. Sometimes you go in there and you think everyone's like going to be ready to like off the bat. And then they're like, what do we write, guys? Like, you got any concepts? Got any things? And then I'm like, actually,
got like I have 250.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's such a cheat code. And just like knowing other songwriters and stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Realistically, when someone's going into the room with you, they're often going to get a song that you're going to cut.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in that world, it's like a cheat code for them to have some insight, personal information.
Yeah.
But also, if you come in with a concept, then they can help you kind of flesh it out.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I've realized that I think the writers in Nashville kind of like that.
Mm-hmm,
I think anywhere else, you know, they might not like it as much or appreciate it. But like just like you said, like they just want to help you get your story out and help you tell it as best as it can be told. So I think they dig that when you come with something like a hook or like a concept or something. It just helps, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, having this podcast as long as we've had it, we've gotten to hear probably over 200 different stories of different artists. And it seems like the songs that mean the most to the most fans usually end up being the most personal.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, at least in country, you know, mostly we've done some other genres a little bit, but the majority of people that we interview are country, you know?
Yeah. Wait, how long have you guys done this podcast together?
Since 2021. So,
damn, we're getting old, bro.
Yeah, we are. But I've been podcasting, I guess, since like 2019. But I would like when I was in Nashville, I'd do episodes, and then, even maybe 2018, late 2018. And then I would do like when artists were on the road, I'd catch them in like a green room for a quick podcast.
Yeah, nice.
But then when I got to town, I was literally doing the radio show from my living room of the broke ass place I was staying in, and kind of the podcast too was audio only at that point. And Kurt was like, well, this seems fun, I would like to do this with you. So we started doing it.
There you go.
And honestly, the cool part about having two people on a podcast is different experiences, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, like, I know when Kurt wants to talk, and he knows when I need him to talk, and you know, back and forth like that. So just like anything,
I like that.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about like Texas. Like you said, you know, you grew up on some country music. What were some of the things that you heard or some of the first memories you have of country music?
I feel like before I even came into the world, I was hearing George Strait through my mother's womb, you know? Like,
yeah.
I just feel like that's my earliest memory of any sort of music or any artist was George Strait growing up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, falling asleep to his music, hearing it all day. I just love George, you know, and I was able to share a shot with him on my 21st birthday. Wow. He was doing his Straight to Vegas residency, and I got tickets to go to like just see him backstage and all that. I didn't even know like he had a new tequila or anything, and it was me, my mom, and then we were in a room by ourselves just waiting for him, like a giant green room, like tequila's in the corner, and you know, we're just waiting there like 5-10 minutes. The anticipation's building. I'm like, where, like, is George coming? Like, where is this guy? Like, and then he just came into the room, just him and like one other person, like walking him in, and I was like, this is insane. How am I in a room with George Strait by myself right now? Like, who gets to have this moment? And then he was like, oh, this releases tequila. Like, I heard you just turned 21. Like, let's take a shot together. So we had like a whole photo op of us taking a shot of his tequila together. I was like, this is insane.
It's so cool. Like,
wow. That's way better.
Straight pinch me moment.
That's
fucking crazy, dude.
One of your first legal shots with George Strait.
Bro, it's so crazy.
That's so nuts.
My only George Strait story was I was like in line to go to the ACM Awards, and I already had my credentials, so I was like, I don't need to wait in this line. And I walked to the front of the line, and I'm like, I have my credentials already. And they're like, no, you have to go back. You have to wait in line with everybody. And I was like, oh, sorry, sorry. And when I was walking back to the end of the line, George was in line waiting. And I was like,
I'm like,
okay, if George Strait is waiting in line, then Kurt Ozon absolutely needs to be at the back of the line for sure.
That's so interesting.
You didn't even know whether to be like, hey, George, or like, oh, like.
No, I didn't. No, I can't. You know, if I'm there to work, like, I can't be, like, annoying to,
especially
like,
after artists. You just try to cut them in line.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That's so
funny.
And
I remember, like, the security guard at the front was, like, screaming at me. And I was like, sorry, sorry, sorry. Like, I'm not trying to cause any trouble. And also, Meg Maroney was right there, and she looked at me like I was, like, she's like, I was like, oh my god, this is so embarrassing.
Like you had two heads.
Yes, exactly. Like I was like a Satan worshiper or something. Yeah, it was crazy.
Have you ran into like any folks in town that you've like got to connect with, like other artists or anyone that you've kind of like, you know, got to connect with here?
Lainey Gardner, I don't know if you guys have heard of her. She's definitely up and coming, doing her thing. And we were friends before she even really started like blowing up on that scene like that. So
Lainey's great.
We had her on the pod.
Yeah.
Did you? Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know her management pretty well.
Okay, nice.
Tracker and like all those guys over there.
Yeah, so we definitely have worked on some music together, which, you know, may or may not come out anytime soon, but
sick.
I think she's super dope. Her voice is incredible. Like a duet, yeah.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm trying to think of anyone else.
That's killer, man.
I'm sure there is people. I can't even think right now.
Yeah.
But you just never know who you're gonna run into in Nashville. Like, you totally could literally be anywhere, and anybody could be there. Like I had dinner across from Garth Brooks like a month or two ago. Just like table right in front of his, and we're just like, I can't not look at you in your eyes. Like I'm sitting straight. You know, I can't. Like it was just crazy to just be like Garth Brooks is just right 10 feet in front of me. Like
so what? Cool. It's such a weird place too. I mean, the majority of people in Nashville usually kind of let people go to.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure it's similar.
What was your first like famous person spotting in Nashville?
Just that I ran into randomly.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't even know. Do you know yours?
I just remember I was at Losers and I was just, you know, it's a weekday and I was just drunk at Losers and Toby Keith got up and started singing.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I was just like, oh my God.
What a memory.
And he was like, I hate this bar. Like laughing with the bar owner because they're friends. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Those moments are the ones that like stick out to me. Gosh, I don't even know. Like, honestly, like when we did our event and it was your birthday weekend and Luke popped up on stage and played, like we had, Kurt was shooting photography for our writer's round.
Nice.
And we did like a takeover with the management company. And they were like, yeah, Luke's playing. And I was like, what? And honestly, I feel like that entire night, I was just like, not there. You know?
That was such a fun night.
Yeah. But
it's
also,
cool when people do that, just random, like,
oh my gosh, so great.
Say, weren't even supposed to be there. Like, yeah. It just happened. Like,
that's the cool part that I think is like, you run into moments where like Co Wetzel will pop up at a bar, or like we were at Losers one time and Peyton Manning singing to David Allen Coe
song.
You're like, what? You know?
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's like, and I even remember like we were leaving the bar one time and then a half hour later Snoop Dogg popped up and played. You know, it's just like stuff like that happens here. And some of them are planned and some of them are just like, it just happens.
Yeah. I like that.
It's so cool. You know, just watching that stuff that literally like doesn't happen anywhere else. Like you talk about, like, that's part of the magic of Music City, you know, is any given Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, something crazy like that can happen.
Doesn't matter what time it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually later when they get the liquid courage in them, you know.
Yeah.
But no, it's I think that's like one of the biggest things that is fun for me is no matter how much you think you have figured out what's probably going to happen. Like went to Red Door one time and when we went in, they're like, hey, so Darius Rucker's here. And if you don't talk to him, he's paying for everybody's drinks. And I was like, that sounds great. I don't have to even talk to him and I just get some free drinks. You know, he just wanted to be treated like a regular dude. You know,
I love that.
It's so cool. And just things that don't seem real are real here. You know, I'm sure LA and Miami has stuff like that too, you know, but there's not that many cities where.
No, Nashville's a special one.
Yeah. Where stuff like that happens.
I love it here. I can see myself being here for another 7.
Sick. Yeah. Yeah. What like music do you have coming down the pipeline? Like, do you have like firm release dates? I know you talked on previous podcasts and stuff about like having kind of like a record in the tank.
Yep.
Do you guys have like a formal plan for that? Or are you still figuring it out?
Not a formal plan where we know like dates and stuff.
Yeah.
Things are coming out, but I have, I think like 4 songs from my album already released that I did put out last year from the album.
Mm-hmm.
I got this one with Kodak coming out that I'm not sure if it's going to be on my album or his. So still trying to iron that, but, I got that coming out. Actually, the video and the song is already out. He had put it out on Christmas just like as like a leak. So that's pretty cool. You guys can check that out. But yeah, next, now it's just the album releasing. So I'm in a place where I got to just get it mixed and mastered and tighten up all the bells and whistles, you know, not too many, but just get her out there and keep making music and keep going.
And then some live dates to follow?
Live dates to follow, exactly, yeah. So put the album out and go on some sort of summer tour, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's my own, if I do my own, or I hop on someone else's tour like I did for Taylor Swift back in the day, like that type of vibe, that'd be really cool.
That's crazy too. I mean, like, of course, like, heard your story of the quick come up and getting in crazy rooms with crazy artists of, you know, and staying Caliber and then popping on the Taylor tour as a very young person.
Insane, yeah.
What are, like, some of the things that maybe even at that young age you kind of, like, saw her do or learned from her?
I think just probably just how sweet she is. Like, you know, I'm sure, like, she just is probably tired and annoyed of people just coming up to her all day, like, being, Taylor, can I get a picture of this and that? Like, but she's just the most genuine, sweetest person. Like, I never saw her be mean to anyone or freak out or be stressed. Like, of course, she's Taylor. She got a whole team that's, like, doing all the hard pulling. But she's just very, very elegant and a great team player. And, she just told me to find my circle and to keep them close and treat them good. So
I love that.
So I try to do.
It's great advice.
Yeah, honestly. Mm-hmm. What a crazy, like, what thing a G. to be around. Yeah. Yeah, super cool. So you talked about, like, your shows you have coming up, like, playing down in Florida at the Tin Roof. Like, what is your setup look like?
I was literally going to ask that same question.
Yeah.
My setup right now is, you know, I come from the pop world of having a band, having 4 to 6 to 8 dancers for certain things. But I think right now is to just start with the band, get that nice and tight. I've got my band.
Yeah.
But just to get us playing more shows together, get that camaraderie going. And then eventually I will add some more dancers in, because I feel like country music doesn't really have too many shows or performances where artists have dancers.
I don't know it.
Maybe if you consider Jessie Murph country, but it's not. It's like pop. She's just kind of adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's a part of the thing that, you know, like, Taylor gets into, right?
Some exactly, like that. Yeah. It just makes the show bigger and more grand for certain times, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
But, like, smaller venues, like a Soho House, Sock Room, you know, it'll just be me and the band. The stage isn't really that big, so.
Yeah.
But I got a Soho show April 12th.
Cool.
Is that in town?
Soho, Nashville.
Yeah, here. In Wedgewood.
Gotcha. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yep. That's sick.
That's fun, too. Kind of, like, really get to get personal with the fans and everything.
Yeah, and instead of, like, having to worry about choreography and, like, where I'm supposed to be for this this part of the dance, like, I can just
rock.
I can just focus on my voice, focus on the band and the people, and just not be out of breath and be like, oh, I gotta chill and stop jumping around. And,
you know, I love that.
That's hard, man. It's like, we were talking, you know, we've got a new stage set up with Luke, and it's like, playing guitar is hard, but when you're walking downstairs and you're playing slide. And he's like, dude, I'm walking down these stairs, and I'm like, you know, long neck whenever he takes a step. It's like, it's like, I got to look at the stairs and think about when I breathe, how to get down the stairs, you know? Because it's, like, too inclined for, like, a ramp and stuff. I couldn't imagine, like, having to worry about, like, choreography breathing and dancing and all
and
that.
And sounding
stuff.
Like you're not out of breath. Like, that's insane.
Watch these Michael Jackson videos, dude.
Yeah.
How crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's something, again,
Taylor,
like,
Swift, you know, she has kinds of crazy shit.
And like you talked about, I mean, the majority of country acts, George Strait's sitting there with a guitar.
That's what I'm saying. George Strait will stand there with a guitar and not even play it.
Yeah.
And just have it on him.
Yeah, and the stage turns for him. So
yeah.
Move.
So that's where I'm like, all right, I'm coming from a place where I'm always having to move and, like, do all these dances, and then seeing, like, no one really does that in the country space. Like, they'll just stand in front of the mic, barely even maybe go over here once, and they're twice, and then they're not really moving at all.
I love that.
Which is, I feel like, you know, it's cool for me because I can get away with that, and it feels guilty for me still now to just, like, standing there, like, chilling. But it's cool to just throw anything dance wise. I can do any small thing dance wise, and people are like, "Oh shit, did you just do that? Like, what? Like, we never seen a country person do that." Like, you know, so to be in the country space and to give the crowd just some movement and something a little bit more to the show, I think that's cool.
I love that. And that's, like, again, that's bringing your roots and merging them with what's happening.
And I don't want to come here abandoning everything that I've learned and done growing up, you know. I feel like that would be very inauthentic of me to just forget 100%. Everything and I don't know, just pretend like it didn't happen or something. Yeah. Like,
no, I think that's an important part, is, like, it's like, what can you do to elevate your performance past what you're seeing happen in this space?
Yeah.
I think that's an amazing way to do it. You know, and every artist has their own level of theatrics or stage work and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But nothing that's close to what a pop artist goes through.
I mean, I would say Garth definitely brings energy, though. Totally. He's one that's just like, 100%. All over the place.
Yeah. It's funny, too. Like, I talk about, like, even, like, smaller artists, like, one of our buddies, John Langston. Mm-hmm. I'm like, when these young artists are just used to sitting there and playing their songs, I'm like, go watch what Langer did, you know? And this is why all the freaking girls loved him, you know? Like, he's going and he's having moments with them, you know? Like, every artist, of course, thing's different, but that's the important part is, like, how is the crowd enjoying the experience? How are you getting to have moments with them?
Yeah.
How are you getting to have, like, show off your grandiose thing that you're doing? Mm-hmm. You know, it's an entertainment world at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Can't forget that.
No, I love that. That's super cool.
Yeah, our version of choreography with Luke is, like, don't go to this part of the stage during this song because there's pyro there.
Yeah. Well, you got to learn that for sure.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes this weekend.
Yeah.
This might be my last podcast.
I'm just kidding. It's definitely an important step to know right there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Don't burn.
Yeah.
What's the craziest stage setup that you've been on? Anything that, like, stuck out of, like, you know, the tours and things that you've been on?
Craziest stage setup. I mean, the Taylor Swift stage was crazy because it was just, she had me only on the stadium shows. So I went from playing like 400 people rooms to skipping the arenas for 20,000 and only doing 60,000.
Crazy.
So it was the most insane jump. And so for a stadium, like, she's got the massive two ramps on, you know, each side that come in the front. There's a pit of people in the middle. I think there's a catwalk down the middle somehow still. Like, it's just massive. Like, it took me forever to go from one side of the stage to the other. And then when I got back to the middle, I'm just, like, out of breath. Like, it was so big. Like, it was hard to even, like, fathom.
I can't even imagine what rehearsing for that is like, too, you know?
Yeah, I was like,
smaller rooms.
Yeah, I kind of just had to just dive in head first.
Totally.
But I performed at the San Antonio Rodeo and the Houston Rodeo, and I always wanted to be on the circle stage that spins in the middle, so I got to do that. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
Crazy. That's right?
Yeah.
Sick, huh?
Don't even have to move at all. I see everybody just standing there.
That's cool.
Yeah. I have to know, Taylor Swift catering, how was it?
It was delicious. It was like the best elite you can get, you know?
Yeah.
And you gotta think she got a crew of like 200 people to set up everything, so it's gotta be like plentiful and fire, you know.
Yeah. And healthy options and
exactly.
All kinds of good
no,
stuff.
They had so many options.
Nice.
I was at one of the Luke shows last year, or year before, I forget. And like the catering, I was like, this is insane. You know, it's like a freaking 4-star, 5-star restaurant in the catering room. You know, it's nuts.
Dude, just our catering's good, man.
Yeah.
I love our catering crew.
I think the crew just works too hard to have horrible catering. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah,
that's like the thing that they look for most in the day after setting up the whole stage. Like, at least give me a nice, crazy good meal. You know?
Yeah.
I love it. Do you have any like goals in the country space specifically, like any like bucket list, like either venues or moments or anything that you're like really looking for and pushing towards?
I would say the venues that probably everyone says, which is the Opry and the Ryman, just because I live downtown. I don't see the Opry like that, but the Ryman I see like every single day, and I'm just like, man, like I think I can do this. So
yeah,
working towards that one. Of course, Bridgestone, just to, you know, I love the neighborhood, so
yeah,
just to get those under my belt will be great. Yeah, I'd probably say those.
I love it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, the Ryman and the Opry, you know, may not be the biggest venues in the world, but just the history of them is just so special. And to be a part of that, to feel the energy in the room, that's a great feeling. It's a blessing
so cool
to be able to feel that.
Yeah, there's something special about the Ryman, too. I mean, there's a lot special about it, but
yeah,
it's like you're saying, you almost feel the weight of what's been there, you know, when you're in it, which is super cool.
And it's arguably better than just performing in a arena that has no energy or something.
Right.
No history.
Yeah.
No history. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that's a tough play to try to get 40,000 people, you know, into what you're doing. You can kind of have those more intimate experiences when you're in those smaller rooms. So that's super cool. Yeah.
Well, thanks for stopping in, man. We appreciate
thank you guys
you, brother,
for having me.
Yeah, man.
This is great.
It's been great getting to know a little bit more, and can't wait to hear. Well, I got to go look up that Kodak because I didn't see that video.
Yeah, you got to check that out.
I got to go check that out. I can't wait for it.
I added some guitars on there, and that was what I was saying earlier, was he sent me a record, and it was just straight like a hip-hop beat, and I was like, I'm in the country space now. I was like, how do I like kind of like bridge the worlds together?
Yeah.
And I meant to get like a lap steel pass from somebody on there.
Call me.
I will. Yeah. But I just never got around to it. And I was like, I have this melody in my head. So I literally just played it on my guitar at home. And I was like, this is a good placeholder for now. But then he loved it and put it out and like leaked it. And I was like, I guess
that's it.
That'll be what it is, you know?
That's cool though.
So, but yeah, it's cool to be able to collaborate on the production side as well too. Just to literally just on top of an MP3 or whatever, like a WAV file, just add some keys or a guitar and then it just becomes part of the song now. So,
so neat.
Yeah. I love music. I love being in Nashville.
Oh, we can tell, man.
Yeah,
for sure.
Such a cool thing and just what a creative outlet, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
And you can tell how passionate you are about it, man.
No, thank you.
Still after even, you know, being through this whole thing for so many years, you know?
It's been a crazy ride.
That's great.
But I'm blessed to be alive, you know?
Amen.
Yes, absolutely. And we're blessed to have you here on the podcast. No, thanks for stopping through, man.
Dude, thank you. Yeah, thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Great to talk to you.
Appreciate
guys.
It. You too. All right, guys. Well, make sure you follow Austin if you aren't one of his like 20 million followers already. But, dude, thank you so much for stopping through. And
thank you.
I can't wait to see you play at the Ryman soon.
Yeah, come to the show. Let's go.
That'd be sick.
We'll get free tickets.
Yeah.
I got you.
All right, guys. Thanks, cheers.
Bye.